Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. If you know it, you ought to sing it. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. Amen. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. Welcome to everyone joining us online. Amen. Take your Bibles if you're at home. Make sure you turn there. Amen. Matthew 15 and verse 7. We're thankful to our ushers who work very hard and during this time have all the extra burdens of cleaning up all the touch points after service. And we appreciate all they do. And Brother Raul leads that group. Thank you, Brother Raul. Matthew 15, verse 7 and 8. Here, right in Matthew, we are dropped, as it were, into a situation, an altercation, I guess you could say, or a nice word would be a conversation, but an altercation that Jesus is having with the Pharisees. And he starts out with this, and you know it's going somewhere when you start out with these words, or this word, hypocrites. Everyone say hypocrites. Jesus says, hypocrites. He says, what Isaiah said about you was true. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you? He said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What powerful words from Jesus as he said, hypocrites. Isaiah was telling of you. He said, you're a people that draw nigh to me with your mouth, your all talk. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. I want to speak this morning on this title, The Heart Matters. The Heart Matters. Turn to your neighbor and say, The Heart Matters. The Heart Matters. Amen. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for everyone joining us here today. And Lord, now we prepare our hearts to receive from you. Whatever it is you'll speak to your church today, help us to receive your word with gladness of heart. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. You see, each Sunday, I come to this pulpit, and some would call it a sacred desk. But I realized that I was preparing this week that God didn't call me to preach from this pulpit. He called me to reach the lost. And in preaching from the pulpit, my whole desire and whole aim is that somebody's soul will be reached, that somebody whose life was getting off course will get back on track. That is my purpose today. My mission today at the outset is to find some lost soul and to get you on the right track for heaven. Amen? And so, the heart matters. The heart matters. Now, I often talk about how bad a handyman I am. But one of my go-to solutions, right? You might like to write this down, men. One of my go-to solutions as a handyman at home, and I'm not much of a handyman, but one of my go-to solutions, you might want to write this down. It's going to be really helpful to you at home if you're trying to fix anything at home. One of my go-to solutions is when something doesn't work, you turn it off and turn it back on again. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You do the same already, don't you? It mysteriously works sometimes. I had a chainsaw at home and it wouldn't work for some reason. I think I need to pull it apart, get the carburetor out. There's probably some dirt in the carby. But I tried that. I thought, you know what? I'll just leave it for a day. And I came out the next day, picked up the chainsaw and thought, you know what? It might just work. Maybe I flooded it. Maybe it's going to work, but I still need to fix it. But the other thing I've learned about fixing things, like my phone, for instance, is that if something's going wrong with my phone, you can turn it off and turn it back on again, and sometimes it works. But when you've got a problem with technology, you've usually got to go, if you want to fix it, you've got to go into the settings, correct? You've got to go into the settings, and an external problem, a problem on the outside, or an external problem is fixed by changing the internal settings. And so, if you want to fix your phone, if there's something wrong with your phone, the best thing to do is ask your child to change the settings, because they'll know how to do it. But I've learned a little bit about resets, about resetting. And when you reset a computer or reset your phone, there's two types of resets. There's a soft reset and there's a hard reset. The soft reset is where all the applications are closed and it clears the random access memory. It clears that out. All the unsaved data that you're currently using may be lost, unfortunately. By doing that, you may lose some of the unsaved data. But the hard drive isn't affected. It's just a soft reset. But then there's another type of reset. It's called a hard reset. And a hard reset restores the technology back to the factory settings. Restores it back to the master. It restores the device back to the way it was created in the factory. And so all the settings are changed. The data is lost. The hard drive is wiped. And everything is new. So you've got a soft reset and you've got a hard reset. But I didn't come here today to talk about technology. I didn't come today necessarily to talk about soft resets and hard resets. I come to talk about the heart. Everybody say the heart. I come to talk about the heart because it is the heart that matters. And some of us, let's just get right to the crux of it. Some of us joining us online and some of us here today, we are experiencing external problems. We've got things happening on the outside in our life. We've got circumstances, things that are manifesting themselves on the external. But the issue is not behavior modification. The issue isn't getting a new to-do list and changing, throwing out your old to-do list and you're getting a new to-do list. The problem is that you've got an issue with your settings. The external problem is coming from an issue in the heart. The issue is in the settings. The issue is not a problem on the outside. The issue is a problem on the inside. And I know that because that's how I was raised. Because if I ever said something bad, and I did, I wasn't a perfect child, believe it or not. But whenever I said anything bad, I tried to say to my mom, "Oh, mom, it was just an accident. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to. It just slipped out." She wasn't foolish. She said, "Jonathan, that's not true. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So your mouth has just given your heart away. Your mouth has just revealed what was in your heart because it was in your internal settings before it was manifested on the external. There's an issue in the settings. And so the answer isn't external behavior modification. The answer isn't a new to-do list. The answer isn't that we just try harder. Some of us today need a reset. Some of us need a soft reset. Some of us need a heart reset. We've got to go into the settings of our heart. Some of us even need to set our heart back the way the Creator created us in the beginning. A reset because the heart matters. Looking forward to the new birth, Ezekiel prophesied. He said, "A new heart will I give you," in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in within you." God will give us a new heart, a heart reset. He will give us a new heart and a new spirit. "And I will take away your stony heart. I'll wipe the hard disk. I'll take away your stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." And so if we reset our internal settings, if we can get our heart right, if we can do that, we can fulfill the purpose of God. We can be right with God if we will go in and reset the issues of our heart. Everybody say the heart matters. And so we wonder, how on earth did my life get so off track? How on earth did I find myself in this position? How did I end up here? I want to tell you how you ended up here. Somewhere, sometime, one of your internal settings was wrong. One of them got a little bit messed up and the internal settings were changed. And it doesn't take much. Just one degree off course. Just one degree. And as you go through time, just one degree becomes such a big distance. And you say, how did I end up here? How did I get to this point? How did I lower myself to this lifestyle? How did I get here? I want to tell you, the issue isn't the external. The issue is the internal settings because the heart matters. Everyone say the heart matters. And so, Pastor, what do you mean the heart matters? Well, Proverbs 4 verse 23 says this, "Keep your heart with all diligence." Everyone say internal settings. "Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Why is it so important to keep your heart? Make sure the settings are right. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Your heart is so important. The internal settings of your life, everything on the external flows out of the heart. For out of the heart springs the issues of life. Your heart will determine your destiny. Your heart will determine your direction. Your internal settings will determine what happens in your life. And so here it is. Jesus in our text is having a conversation with the Pharisees. He's having an altercation with them, with the religious people of the day. And he starts out, he says, hypocrites. Woo. He said, the external and the internal aren't lining up. You're saying one thing with your mouth. Yeah, it sounds good on the outside, but the internal settings are all messed up. Your heart is far from me. He says, you look good on the outside. You sound good on the outside, but your heart is far from me, and it's the heart that really matters. Now, I spoke to one of our doctors in church to see if he could find me a model of the heart. And he couldn't find a model of the heart. But one day I would love to do this message again with the model of the heart. But when we speak of a physical heart, we're talking about this muscle that's in our chest. Has everyone got a heart? Who's got a heart here today? Have a heart, all right? We're talking about this muscle that's in the center of our chest. And believe it or not, the whole body depends on the heart, this muscle. It's in the middle of your body. It receives blood and it pumps blood throughout the entire body. You see, the heart is pumping blood to the end of my finger there. If I prick the finger, there's going to be enough pressure to force a little bit of blood out because of the heart, which is at the center. It pumps blood throughout the entirety of the whole body. And this is what our natural heart does. It brings life. If it stops pumping, then you die. If it's not strong enough to get the blood to the end of the extremities, then those parts of your body will be affected as well. And so the heart pumps blood through the cardiovascular system and the veins throughout the whole body. Now the physical heart is a beautiful picture of our spiritual heart. The importance of our spiritual heart. Because our heart in the spiritual is so important to our whole life. The Bible says in Proverbs that that our heart is the place where all the issues of life will stem. Our life is impacted by what happens in our heart. And so just as the physical heart is central to our existence, central to our life, central to our health, just as the physical heart is so important, the spiritual heart is central to everything in our spiritual life. The heart matters. And I've come here today, let me just be really upfront with you today. I've come here today to encourage you that if you got anything going on in your life, if you're far from God, you got to get back and get your heart right with God. The internal settings. When the doctor says your heart is sick, or you've got a problem with your heart, you know what's going to happen? Your whole body is going to become sick. Your whole body is going to begin to suffer. When your heart is attacked, the whole body will begin to suffer. And the same is with the spiritual. When our heart is not right with God, when our heart gets off track, you are in trouble. Your spiritual life will suffer when your heart gets off track. And so Proverbs 4 tells us that everything in life is impacted by the condition of our heart. The issues of life, all the external, mankind's behavior, your external things, what people see, what you do, your lifestyle, all of those things are driven by the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring all the issues of life. I've come to tell somebody today, stay focused on keeping your heart right. Take your heart seriously. Keep an eye on it. Make sure your heart is in the right place. Where is your heart today? Where is your heart today? Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, your heart is a long way away. The location of your heart is another place. What is the state of your heart? Because your heart matters. The location of your heart matters. The settings in your heart matters. Make sure your heart is in the right place. And so where is your heart today? I want to ask you that question. Where is your heart? What is the state of your heart? Where is it going? What is happening to it? Because the heart matters. The heart matters. And so we had dropped into that this altercation between Jesus and the Pharisees. And you want to know what the problem was? In the middle of everything that was going on, in the middle of all the miracles, there were lots of things happening. In John 15, where our text is, but in John 14, Jesus just fed the 5,000, which we talked about in the baby dedication. He's just fed 5,000. He walks on the water. He calms the storm. Then he gets to Gennesaret, and the Bible says, and they were all trying to touch Jesus. And the Bible says, as many as touched Jesus were healed. That's amazing. There's some incredible stuff happening in John 14. And then in the middle of all these miracles, in the middle of all the miraculous that was happening right there as Jesus was ministering, in the middle of all of that, look at what the Pharisees are doing. They sit down for lunch, the Pharisees, and they didn't have any hand sanitizer. Everyone's got that these days. They had no soap and water. And there they are, they sit down and they start eating without washing their hands. Now, I encourage everyone to wash your hands before you eat, of course. But the Pharisees, they get so hung up on it that they're always looking for a reason to criticize a move of God. In Matthew 15, verse 1 and 2, let's go there in our Bibles. Matthew 15, verse 1 and 2. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem, they came to Jesus and they said, they started picking on the disciples. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? After all these miracles, look at what the Pharisees are focusing on. Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. The tradition of the elders, in the middle of a move of God, all they can focus on is the fact that the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. That's a Pharisee before you. And so Jesus is sitting there. He puts his sandwich down, I imagine. He says, "You are kidding me. You're kidding me. Hypocrites. You're so concerned about my disciples washing their hands." And you know what he says to them? He says, "And you're living in sin. You got sin in your life. You're transgressing the law. And all you can think about is my disciples haven't washed their hands." He said, "Yeah, you're so careful to keep the tradition of your elders, but you're breaking God's laws. You're breaking God's laws." And what he says? He says, "Hypocrites, you act like you love God, but your actions and your heart is so far off." Jesus knew them. He knew their hearts. He's the all-knowing God. He's God in flesh. He knew their hearts. And he knew their heart. That's why he could call them a hypocrite. I don't know your heart. I can't call you a hypocrite because I don't know the settings of your heart. Yeah, I can recognize some external things, but the condition of your heart is only something that God knows. Only God knows the condition of your heart. And so you ought to be careful when you start judging someone's heart. Even if you think you know everything about that person, hold your tongue before you start judging their heart, because only God knows the heart of people. And one day God is going to try your heart. One day God is going to try your heart. He's going to look at your heart. And when he tries your heart, you got to pass that test. Don't say one thing and do another thing. God is saying, "I don't want you to do one thing on Sunday and another thing on Monday, because your heart matters." God looks at us according to our heart. Everyone say, "My heart." Joseph was used because God knew his heart. God knew Joseph's heart. You see, if he had used the other brothers would have tried to get revenge. The other brothers would have got off course, but God could trust Joseph's heart. And in everything, all the things that Joseph went through, you know what Joseph said? "You meant it for evil, but God made it good." What you meant for evil, God was able to turn it around. So I want to encourage somebody. God is going to judge us according to our hearts. We've got to make sure our heart is right with God. Don't focus so much on the external things, because out of the heart comes all the issues of life. If you can just get your heart right. The Bible talks about putting on the armor of God. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness. If you think of a breastplate of righteousness, that breastplate, the most important organ that it protects is the heart. It's the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the standard that pleases God. A life that pleases God. A life that aligns with the Word of God. And so when you are righteous, you are living a life that is according to God's Word, that conforms to the truth of God's Word. That is a righteous life. And so when you are saved, God gives you a new heart. He gives you a new heart. And so what are we going to do with our new heart? We got to protect it. And the Bible says we protect that new heart as a born-again believer. We protect that new heart by putting on the breastplate of righteousness. We protect our heart by living a righteous life, by living according to the world, the Word, not according to the world. And so when you live a holy and righteous life, you are protecting that heart, that new heart that God gave you. I want to encourage somebody today. If you've been born again, God has given you a new heart. And by living a holy lifestyle, by living a righteous lifestyle, by saying no to the things of this world, you are protecting that new heart that God has given you, the breastplate of righteousness. You see, the demonic is attracted to unrighteousness. Now, when we... Around the summertime in Canberra, and don't be so sure that snakes only come out in summertime, they also come out in wintertime. Everybody thinks you can do whatever you want in the winter because there's no snakes, but snakes are out in the wintertime, aren't they, Sister Melanie? We saw a big snake just a couple of weeks ago under a bush just sunning itself, a red-bellied black snake in the middle of winter. So there you go. Everyone's thinking, oh, the spirit of fear. Oh, God has not given us a spirit of fear. But when we come into summer, you'll get a note from the government. They'll tell you to clean up your backyard. True? Pick up all your rubbish, mow your grass. If you've got any piles of wood laying around, clean it all up. Why? Because snakes will come into your backyard. And they'll find somewhere to live in your backyard because they're attracted to the mess. And if you live in Queensland, and we got people joining us from the Torres Strait Islands today, as we do every Sunday, they'll tell you that you're not to leave stagnant water laying around because stagnant water or dirty water attracts mosquitoes. If you leave rubbish bags, household rubbish, it's going to attract rats. Yeah? And the same is, like snakes are attracted to rubbish in the backyard, like rats are attracted to rubbish, like mosquitoes come to dirty water. The same is with unrighteousness. When we allow our life to be full of unrighteousness, when we allow ourselves to live an unrighteous and ungodly life, the demonic is attracted to unrighteousness. And so guard your heart. Everyone say, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Make sure you live that life of righteousness. Make sure you put on the breastplate of righteousness to live a holy life. Guard your heart in the wilderness. Everybody say the wilderness. The Exodus, as they came out of Egypt, the children of God came out of Egypt, and it was the hand of God along the whole way. The move of God, miraculous things were happening. They went through the waters. They followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The hand of God was moving. But then after all the miraculous, what happened? They ended up in the wilderness. Yeah, anyone ever been in a wilderness in your spiritual walk? Anyone ever been in the wilderness? It's all right. We go through wilderness. God is still God in the wilderness. But after some time, they were in the wilderness. Moses goes to the mountaintop, and it's on the mountaintop where he gets the Ten Commandments. And after all these great things, now Moses has left them and he's gone. And they're there with Aaron. And the wilderness begins to try them. What, we've come out of Egypt, and they start to think about the old things. The leeks and the garlics and the good food and all that back there. And now they're in the wilderness. Let me tell somebody today, don't lose your heart while you're in the wilderness. God is still God. Don't let your heart get out of control. Keep your heart with all diligence, even when you are in the wilderness. And here's what happens. Their heart begins to get off track. And the children of Israel come to Aaron while Moses was in the mountain. They said, Aaron, we want to have a God like the Egyptians have got. We want to be like the Egyptians. We want a God that we can see. We want a God that we can physically touch, something made of gold or some statue. The Bible says they were in the wilderness. They took their jewelry and they melted it down and begin to make idols. What? After all that God had done for them, now they want a God like they had in Egypt? You got to be careful when you're in the wilderness that you keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, even through the hardest times, even through sickness, if you're unemployed, even through the tough times in life, guard your heart with all diligence. And so they created a golden calf. In Exodus 32, verse 4, they said, these be the gods that brought us out of Egypt. Their heart got off track. It ventured into the ways of the Egyptians. It ventured into the worship of Egypt. Even when you're in the wilderness, everyone say, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Be careful what you allow into your heart. The eyes and the ears are the gates of our heart. The eyes and the ears, one person said, are the window of our soul or the doorway of our soul. Things get into our heart through our eyes and our ears. You can be impressed. You can be impressed upon by spirits of this world. The spirits of this world can come into your heart through your eyes and through your ears. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you listen to. The spirits of this world, you think, oh, I like this artist. I like this artist. I like this actor. I like this band. All of those things, those worldly things, the spirit of the world possesses those great entertainers. The spirit of this world possesses those great actors. And what happens when you listen to it, when you begin to watch it, you're listening, you think you're listening to a famous artist. You think you're listening to just a singer, but you're listening to the devil from hell who's trying to turn your heart against God. And he's no fool. He's not going to come with horns and a pitchfork. He's going to come as sly as possible to change your heart and to turn your heart against God. And I come to remind somebody today, guard your heart with all diligence. Psalm 19 verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my... Anybody read their Bible still? And the meditation of my... heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The meditation of your heart. You can direct your heart by what you meditate upon, by what you dwell upon, by what you think about. You see, meditation is a Bible word. It's not about finding your inner self and all this sort of stuff, no. But meditation is about finding the ways of God, finding the will of God, meditating on the Word of God, meditating on the goodness of God, meditating on the holiness of God. And the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. You see, the meditation of your heart can direct your life, what you meditate upon. And so keep your heart. Prayer, the word, be teachable, be submitted to God. Keep your heart with all diligence. Protect your heart. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Your heart will be okay if you can just protect your heart with all diligence. It's so easy, brothers and sisters, to get off course. It's so easy for the settings to change. It's so easy for something on the internal to get a little bit off track, and then you begin to see it on the external. Check the settings of your heart. The settings. The settings. Everyone say the settings. I read in the Bible about two men that built two houses. One set his house on the rock. One set his house on the sand. The settings matter. Where you set your life, where you set your affections, where you set your heart, where you set your eyes, where you set your ears, where you set your foundation, it matters. And one built his house on the rock, and the storm came, and it stood firm. One built his house on the sand, and when the storm came, because it was set on the sand, it blew down. Guard your heart. I ask you today, how's your heart? How's your heart? No, I didn't say, how's your job? I said, how's your heart? I didn't ask you how your relationship is or your plans or your ambitions or how much work you got to do. No, I'm simply asking, how is your heart? The place that God can see, the place that only God knows. How is your heart? You see, when life gets busy, and I know we're all busy, it can be hard, it can be easy to neglect the most important things. And the Bible says, guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart with all diligence. So if it's been a while since you've considered that question, how's my heart? Let me tell you, it might be time to press the reset button. Might be time to reset, a soft reset. Maybe if you've never known Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, it might be time to do a hard reset, to let God give you a new heart when you're born again, when you repent of your sins, when you're baptized in Jesus' name and He puts His Spirit inside of you. He gives you a hard reset. Let me tell you what the hard reset does. It puts our heart back the way God wants it from the very beginning. But maybe you're here today and you found your heart got a little bit off track. Maybe you need a soft reset. What about your first love? Go back to the original settings. Are you following the world's trends? Let me tell you, Jesus is the way, He's the truth and the life. Make sure your heart is right, because your settings will determine your destiny. If the musicians could come right now. Are you set in the world, or is your heart set in the Word? I could ask somebody again, are you set in the world, or is your heart set in God's Word? Where is your heart today? Where is your heart? It might be time that you need God to do a work in your heart today. Maybe you're far from God and you say, Pastor, right where I stand right now, my heart is so far from God. My life is in a mess, Pastor. And I know why it's in a mess, because I know there's some things that aren't right with my heart. Let me tell you, you can have a reset today. God can make all things new. The Bible says that we are new creatures in Jesus Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let's stand all across this place right now. The settings of your heart. Your settings will determine your destiny. And maybe you're here today joining us online. You got to make some things right in your heart. You know, I'm here in church, yes, and I'm trying the best that I can. But there's some things that I just got to get right in my heart. Maybe you're that person that has tried to change things on the outside. Tried to reform your behavior. Tried to modify your life through behavior modification and changing a few things on the outside. Let me tell you today, unless you change your heart, whatever your issue is today in life, it can be changed by going back and changing the settings. Go back and change the settings, because the heart matters. The devil can't get you off course. He can't get you off course. No, your heart can get you off course if you allow him to get into your heart. You say, oh, well, people have hurt me. This person's done this to me. No, no. People can't get you off course. Your heart will get you off course. You can be offended, yes, on the external, but don't allow the offense to get in your heart. You can be hurt on the outside, but don't allow your heart to be hurt, because your heart will get you off track. Where is your heart today? Because it's the heart that matters. Where is your heart? At Calvary, when Jesus was crucified, as He hung on that cross, the Bible says that the soldier came and plunged that spear into His side. The reason they tell us about the spear in the side, and they tell us what came out, is because that spear went into the heart of Jesus. How do we know it was the heart? Because blood and water flowed out. It was a puncture to the heart that caused the blood and the water to come out. And some people literally say that Jesus died of a broken heart. He gave me His heart. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we ought to give Him our heart. Let Him change the settings. Let Him direct our heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come all the issues of life. Everything that we do as Christians, it's all a matter of the heart. Everything that happens here in worship, it's a matter of the heart. I'm coming back not to the words of worship, but I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm coming back to the lifestyle in my heart that I want to live for God. Not just external, but the heart matters. Can we lift our hands right now and begin to just receive what God has spoken to us? Let God do a work in your heart right now. I know it may be a little bit confronting today, but it's the heart that matters. Where is your heart? Have you allowed your heart to become off course? Have you allowed your heart to drift? Get your heart right and say, God, I want to get the settings right in my life. Come on, let's lift our hands right now. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit, oh God. I want to have my heart right with you. God, I know you look upon the heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, let's lift our voices and pray. Come on, church, it's time to receive what God has spoken to us right now. Don't hear my voice, but allow what God is speaking to go in your heart right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Change my heart, oh God. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Hallelujah. This song we're about to sing comes from Psalm chapter 51. It's a prayer prayed by David. David had allowed his heart to get off course. He should have been out on the battlefield, but he wasn't on the battlefield. He was somewhere where he shouldn't be. His heart was in the wrong place. And then the devil got into his heart through his eyes as he looked upon a woman who was bathing. He sinned, committed adultery with Bathsheba. His heart, the settings were all wrong. But then we read this prayer of repentance in Psalm chapter 51, and I'm going to read it and then we're going to sing it. After all that David had done that was wrong, his heart was so far from God, he prayed this prayer and God gave him a fresh heart, a new heart. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You desire truth in the inward parts. And then he goes on to say in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. If you want God to do a work in your heart today, you can find a place of prayer right now. This altar is open. You can come kneel at this altar. You can kneel where you're seated right now, lean on the chair in front of you. You can sit there, but right now God is saying to us, what is the condition of your heart? What are the settings of your heart? Get your heart right with God, because out of it flow all the issues of life. Let's sing this song. Oh yes, let's have a time of prayer. Creating me a clean heart.